Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And we'll end our reading there. I originally prepared this message for Mother's Day earlier this year, this Mother's Day. And the reason I thought this message was particularly applicable is because it's something we all struggle with. May we all be encouraged by what God's Word says about honoring our parents. Now, in the Bible, there are promises related to how we treat our parents. There are promises of blessings. And there's warnings against ignoring your parents. We're going to look at the fifth commandment under three headings. First, the importance and extent of honoring your parents. The importance and extent of honoring your parents. Second, biblical examples of honoring parents. And third, the joy and blessings of honoring your parents. So first, the importance and extent. Well, the first and most important thing to understand is that the Bible calls us to do this. The Bible is the Word of God. And so what the Bible says is exactly what God says. This is the living Word of God to us. It is active today, yesterday, and tomorrow. God has given this to us, and so it is important. Now, the most succinct summary, that's the most basic summary, clear and very small and concise, is found in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 12. Now, that chapter is probably familiar to most people here because Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." It's repeated again in Leviticus 19, verse 3. "Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." And again, it's again repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, in the second giving of the law. And this is the one that Paul quotes here in Ephesians chapter 6. "Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Proverbs 6, verse 20 says this command from God's Word: "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching." See, it's important because God tells us, but even here, not only important, but it's also the most wise thing you can do. Proverbs is a book of wisdom from the wisest man ever to live. And he tells us this multiple times in his book. "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Even after your parents have left this world, even after your parents have died, you can continue to show them honor by following their wisdom. There are always things your parents do wrong. They are not perfect parents. They're sinful human beings just like you. But don't reject what they teach you, what that's good and that's right and that's wise and just, because they also sometimes fail. That's no excuse to stop listening to them. Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother." Who is the fool? Who is the fool? It's a person who despises his mother or father. When you think your parents are fools, when you think your parents are absolutely foolish and they don't know what they're talking about, and you're the one who knows everything, guess who really is the fool in that picture? If you think your parents are the fools, it's most likely that you are. The fool is the one who rolls their eyes at their mother or father and that tunes them out and doesn't listen to them. That's a fool. Now, not only does God command us to honor our parents, but he also saves some of his strictest punishments in the Mosaic law for not honoring parents. It's so important to God that some of the strictest punishments were for not honoring parents. In Deuteronomy 27, verse 16, we find this statement in a list of things talking about sins no one else will ever know about. So even though no one else will ever know about these things, in this list, one of them is, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. See, if you talk behind your parents' backs or act in ways that dishonor them, no one else may ever know, or your parents may ever know, not ever know. But you are cursed by God, is what this says. Leviticus 19 or 20 verse 9 says, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Now, the Greek word that Jesus uses when he quotes this verse in the New Testament literally means an evil word. The idea of cursing your parents is an evil word. It means to curse or to speak evil of, to use contempt when you're talking about your parents. See, when you tell others things about your parents, about what they do or what they make you do in order to make your parents look bad, that is speaking evil of your parents. It is you cursing them in your heart. And God takes that very seriously. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, we hear that the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. I think the concept here is rolling of eyes. Oh, yes, mother, I will do that. Or big sighs when you hear of the same thing told to you again at the same request or the story. There's a kid's movie called Brave. And at one point in the movie, the father is sitting at the dinner table and he's telling his favorite story to his family. Now, clearly it's his favorite story because they've heard it before. And you can tell because all the boys are mouthing word for word the story that the father's telling. And then just before he gets to his favorite part, the climax, the daughter cuts in and interrupts him and finishes the story for him. And he says, that was my favorite part. And you're supposed to laugh at that and think that it's funny. Well, the world thinks it's funny and thinks it's appropriate and thinks it's fine. But it's not. It's not. And this doesn't just apply to young children. I've seen adults do it as well about their parents, sometimes even more and worse than children. Isaiah 45, verse 9 to 10 is probably the most striking example, though. It says this, woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. That is, to him who is like a broken piece of glass on the ground, arguing with his maker. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? And then here's the next sentence. Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought forth? God puts the one who argues with their parents and denies them right next to one who denies God and argues with God. The both woes, there's great woes called upon us. And we're all guilty of these things. And are you not struck by how important and serious this is to God? As we get older, we get more subtle at doing this. We get more sophisticated in how we do it. But there are still ways that I know I don't honor my parents as I should. And I know that these same things are almost in every other heart. And this is sin. But notice also that you don't find in this list anywhere that there are certain kinds of parents that are exempt from honoring. It is not honor your parents only if they deserve it, or only if they ask for it, or if there is no if. Just honor your father and mother. There is only one biblical requirement that makes them worthy of that honor. And that one biblical requirement is that they be your father and mother. Now this also includes father-in-laws, mother-in-laws. It can also include adopted parents and even step-parents. There are no exceptions. In fact, this is the law on which is based all the commandments and all the exhortations related to obeying authorities over you. You will find passages dealing with the concept that you must obey God rather than men, but never that honor is to be withheld from those to whom honor is due. You can disobey your parents in the Lord while still honoring them. It is possible. If your parents ask you to do what is wrong, you must respectfully and honorably disobey. Now also, there is no time when you age out of honoring your parents. And there's no position that you can obtain in this earth that would disqualify you from having to honor your parents. Like a judge or a deacon or an elder, that doesn't change the fact that even if those under you are the ones that you are shepherding, you are still to honor your parents. It's such a simple command, and it has such a promise with it of blessing, that it may go well with you, and that you will live long. So what does it mean to honor your parents? Well, we've already been looking at this by looking at what it is not. For example, Exodus 21, verses 15 to 17, it was a curse on attacking your parents, cursing them. Defending your parents is the opposite. Blessing your parents is the opposite. Seeking what is good and helpful and encouraging to them and building them up is honoring to your parents. Another passage which we didn't look at, but Deuteronomy 21 talks about a son who is rebellious and that the parents are to take him to the elders of the town. And if he is a rebellious son who will not listen to his parents and he's a drunkard, they are to stone him to death. He's stubborn, rebellious, a drunkard, he's immoral, shameless, and he refuses to listen. I think that describes more people than the opposite of that, which is to be compliant, to be obedient, disciplined in our lives, seeking what is good, and giving others a reason to respect our parents because of the way we behave and the way we listen carefully. Proverbs 30, verse 17, talked about mocking, scorning obedience. The opposite is gratefully accepting wisdom and insight from your parents and desiring to obey and do what they ask. Standing by your parents' decisions and supporting them if they're not sinful decisions. You can't respect your parents if while you're obeying them, you're complaining about having to do that. You can't respect them and complain about them at the same time. In Isaiah 45, verses 9 to 10, it's arguing, why are you my parents? And blaming them. It's your fault that I'm this way. It's your fault I did that. The opposite, being grateful that they are the parents God has given us. Being grateful they are the parents God has given us. And praising them for everything they have done that has helped us to get where we are today. Now, I cannot tell you how to honor your parents. You see the principles here in Scripture, but each of you have different parents and are in different circumstances. But the principle is the same. Honor them in love, in actions, in words, in the way you represent them before the rest of the world. Honor them in how you listen, and honor them in how you disagree with them. And secondly, we can look at some wonderful biblical examples of people who honored their parents. The first one is from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Now, we all, I think, know the story of the book of Ruth, but what happens is that Naomi goes to a far country with her two sons and her husband, and they all die. But in the meantime, her two sons had gotten married to two Moabite women. Now, one of them goes back home, but the other one refuses to leave Naomi in her state of helplessness, in her state of widowhood without any means of support. And so she clings to her. And she makes this famous speech in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Ruth 1, 16 to 18. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And Ruth kept that promise, that oath, to the point that her son was raised on Naomi's knees. Ruth's son was raised on Naomi's knees. Her devotion and her care to her mother-in-law was noticed by all. And we know this because in Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And that blessing, that reward that was given to her was not only children and a family, but she became part of the line of Jesus Christ. And that was a blessing that every Jewish woman in Israel wanted, was to be part of the line of the coming Messiah. And she was blessed with that reward. Now, there's an even more striking example of honor to a mother that's shown by Ruth's great-great-grandson. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, we read there. 1 Kings 2:19, when Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. So Bathsheba is King Solomon's mother. The king stood up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne. He had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat down at his right hand. Even though Solomon was the wisest and the richest king, the most powerful king on the earth at that time, he still bowed down to his mother, paying her the honor that was due to her because she was his mother. Do we think of our mothers like that? Do we think of our fathers like that? Do we honor them enough that we have the desire to, in effect, bow down before them and say, I will honor you with whatever you ask of me. I am here, your servant. That's what King Solomon was doing. He put himself at his mother's disposal and listened to her request, as comes in the following verses. Now, respect for parents also came up in Jesus' teaching. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. There's also a parallel in Mark 7, but we're going to look at it in Matthew's account. Matthew 15, verses 3 to 8. We'll start at verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash with their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus was angry that the people had created a scenario where it was a decision of whether to worship God or honor their parents. They put honoring your parents at odds with honoring God. It is worship to God to honor your parents. They are not at odds. They are, in some cases, the same thing. There is a lot more to worshiping God, but honoring your parents is definitely part of that. Another time Jesus mentions honor to parents comes from the parable of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, verses 17 to 19, the son realizes he sinned against his father in the way he dishonored him by essentially telling his father, I care more about what you can give me than about who you are as my father. I would prefer you dead and have your money than alive and working for you. And he realizes that that is something he needed to repent of. He realized it was something that was so wrong that he had asked for the inheritance before it was time, that he was no longer to be worthy to be called a son. That was something to be disowned over. But the most specific and descriptive biblical account of someone honoring his father and his mother is recorded in the Gospels. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 48 to 51. Luke chapter 2, verses 48 to 51. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Who is the he in this whole passage? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look also at John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. I'll start again at verse 1 for context. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. See, whatever Mary knew about Jesus' power, she did know one thing, that her son would honor her by fulfilling her request. I think we often don't realize that and don't notice that. She comes to him and says, "They have no more wine." And then Jesus responds with, "Why do you involve me?" And her response is not to Jesus and giving him a good reason. She turns to the servants and says, "Listen to what he tells you to do." She knows that he will honor her request because she is his mother. And also, notice the term that Jesus calls her. He says, "Dear woman." Now, in our language, if you said to your mother, "My dear woman," that doesn't really have the same context as what Jesus was saying. It was actually a very much more the way we would use the concept of mother, just saying it in a very endearing, the person that means so much to you. And that's really the sense of someone who is very dear to him, a woman who is more dear than any woman. That's the way it was used in that context, not the other way that we would use it in a sarcastic way. And see, by honoring his mother also, at the end there it says that he thus revealed his glory. By honoring his mother, he revealed his glory, that he had came from the Father full of grace and truth. This is the third example in the Gospels that records Jesus honoring his mother in his care for her. The third one, actually, I should say, is from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. John 19, 25 to 27. It appears that sometime before this account in John chapter 19, Joseph had died and Mary was now a widow. John 19. Starting at verse 25, near the cross, Jesus was where at this point? On the cross. But near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. In extreme pain on the cross, facing very shortly at that point the wrath of God for our sin, that looming over him, he still had his thoughts focused on honoring his mother, seeing and making sure that she was cared for. Jesus is the fullest example in the Bible, both in detail and in extent, of someone honoring their mother. But our Lord Jesus did more. John 8, beginning at verse 42, and then 49 to 50, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus. This is beginning at verse 49 now. "But I honor my Father. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." Jesus honored and obeyed his heavenly Father. He came because he was sent. He loves the Father, and so he came to do his will. John 12, 27 to 28, Jesus says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." He would not even suggest that his Father change his command, because Jesus desired to honor his Father, giving him the glory. The glory of the one and only, that he would be sent to Savior of the world. John 12, again, farther on, 49 to 50. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." The very words of Jesus are word for word what the Father told him to say. Every word Jesus spoke, God gave honor to the Father that he was obeying him and bringing his commands. Luke 22, 39 to 42 continues this story. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was being given the cup of the wrath of God, filled with the punishment of the eternal torment that was due to the people of God. The curses that should have been on us were on Him. The sin that we deserve to die for, He died for. Because Jesus honored His Father. Because He honored His Father, we are alive in Christ today. The fifth commandment is the assurance that Jesus completed the work that God sent Him to do. Because He loved the Father and obeyed His commands, He honored Him to death. And so because of that, He received power and glory and praise and honor and blessings. And we are receiving of that because of Him. But even now, when we honor our parents, there are many joys and blessings that come to us. The joys and blessings that come to us. Well, first, one blessing is that honoring our parents equips us for life. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." God connects the blessings of long life and a good life with honoring your parents. And the reason for that is because when you do that, you're equipped for life. Your parents know how to deal with life. And they have lots of wisdom to give to you. And when they train you up as young children and as teenagers, as they give you wisdom and counsel, it's so that you may have a long life in the land the Lord your God has given you. And it may go well with you if you honor your parents. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 6. Honoring your parents and going well with you are hand in hand. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." My wife has a beautiful amethyst necklace that she wore on our wedding day. It is one of her most prized possessions because it was given to her by her Beppa, by her grandmother. And she's only worn it that once, and it's very special occasions that she would take that out. It is a prized possession. And that's what God is saying the things that your parents tell you are worth. Take them, hold them close. They are precious. Honor your parents. Listen to their instruction. It is something that will grace your head and like a chain or a necklace around your neck. Now, second, honoring your parents prepares you for marriage. This is part of equipping us for life. But you know the old proverb, or at least I'm sure many of you heard it, a woman marries a man hoping that he will change, but he doesn't. And a man marries the woman hoping that she will never change, but she does. And there is a truth to that. So men especially, don't wait until you get married to change, because then you still won't. If you want to prepare for marriage, the best place to start is in your parents' home. You want to know how to treat your wife? You want to know how to prepare for that? Love your mother. Treat her like a queen. And the same with daughters, preparing to love and respect your husbands. You have a father to practice on, to learn how to honor and how to be prepared for marriage. If you do that, you'll be in such a much better place when you get married. You won't have to try and figure out what it means. You will know because you're living it in your lives. And if you don't honor your parents, most likely you will not honor your spouse. Now, thirdly, it also brings joy to our parents. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Or Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 says, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and your mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. See, when you honor your parents, you bring them double joy. They get the joy of knowing that what they are asking you to do or what they teach you, that you are taking that to heart. But they also get the joy of knowing that you are honoring the Lord, our Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, and honoring God. They know that you are following after Him as you honor them as their parents. There is no greater joy as a parent than to know that your child seeks after God. There is no greater joy you can give your parents than that they would know that you seek after God. Number four, it gives us a clean conscience before God. When I disobey God, or when I don't do what He asks me, it gnaws at me. But when I repent and follow His commands, I find joy in knowing that now I am doing what He desires. That now I am doing that which is pleasing in His sight. And the same is true of the commandment to honor our parents. It is joyful and pleasing to God and brings joy to Him. And that is why most of all it gives honor to God. See, Ephesians 6, 1-3 said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. You can obey your parents grudgingly, or you can obey them in the Lord. And when he, Paul, wrote these words, he was writing on behalf of God. And when God had those words written, He knows exactly who your parents are today. Those words were written with your parents partly in mind, because this is God's word for us today as well as it was to the Philippians back then. It gives glory to God when you say to Him, I trust you that these parents are the ones you have given me to honor. I trust you that these are the ones you've given me. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And finally, when you honor your parents, it bears witness of the relationship Jesus has with His Father and of what we have with Him, our Heavenly Father. It's a witness to yourself. When you honor God by honoring your parents, you can be reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ honored His Father to death on the cross for your sake. And it also bears witness to your parents. If they're not Christians, you can tell them why you honor them. Because you have a Savior who honored His father and mother, and because you do this because you desire to please the Lord your God. And if your parents are Christians, it will be a reminder to them. And third, it also bears witness to all those who see you honor your parents. Especially young people, it's very, very easy to slip in with the rest of the crowd when they start talking about their parents and what their parents make them do or what time their bedtimes are or how little allowance they get or none or how much or however, all those kinds of things that are wrong that they're talking about. And when you turn around and say, I love my parents. I trust them that these are the ones God has given me. I desire to honor them And they are wonderful. And they have done so many wonderful things for me and taught me so many things that are worthy of honor. You bear witness to your friends. You bear witness to your coworkers. When you honor your parents, when you say to them, "Not my will, but yours be done," may it become a witness to yourself, to your parents, and to the whole world of what Jesus Christ has done, that He is your Lord and Savior. And when you fail, and we fail all the time, we can trust in the work of the One who never failed to honor His Father.